Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord. If you would, just extend your hand toward the platform and release your faith that you, as an individual, is going to hear from heaven tonight and receive. Father, I thank you for the word of the living God. It is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces and divides us asunder. It gives us revelation, empowering us to rise up and walk in the perfect will of God. So we thank you in advance for what we're going to see and hear in the realm of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming. This morning, we preached on humility. I have a little catchy phrase that goes with it. If you don't humble, you shall stumble. When you stumble, you shall tumble. When you tumble, you shall crumble. Pride goes before a fall. I read the Old Testament some and places, and I read about Pharaoh, how that his heart was hardened. But when you summarize that, at the end of it, it says, because he refused to humble himself. So pride hardens your heart. And so tonight we're going to preach on God being our source. The definition of humility is God dependency, depending totally upon God. Jesus kept himself dependent on the Father. I'm here to do what the Father sent me, the Father's will. He gave the Father all the credit and all the glory. He is our sample son. And so you need to watch claiming any glory, because God will not share any glory with a human being. Amen. Before I get started, I want to answer, I call them the five whys. Why? Why are we here? Psychiatrists, sociologists, professors have been trying to explain, why are we here? Revelations 4:11 says we were and are created for his pleasure. You're here to give God pleasure. That's your assignment. Give God pleasure. Well, what pleases him? Well, a meek and quiet spirit. A humble and peaceful spirit pleases him. Faith pleases him. Obedience pleases him. So your assignment in life is not to please yourself, because you don't belong to you. Huh? David prayed, what can I give you that you haven't given me? What can you give God? All the money, it's already his. Your body don't belong to you. What you can give him is praise. Huh? Your body don't belong to you. Your spirit don't belong to you. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. So you belong to him. We're going to change our thinking tonight. One of the most dangerous things you can do is start looking to man as your source. You can't look to your job as your source. You can't look to your pastor as your source. Sometimes, I've said this in times past, we receive an offering from an unexpected source. Well, that's inaccurate. We received money or an offering through an unexpected channel. God only is our source. You can't look to your job as your source. Here's why. When you start looking to something else as your source, it diminishes your focus on God. When you start looking to anything else as your source, it diminishes your focus on God. Somebody say amen. And so my first why is you were created for his pleasure. Why faith? Why is everything by faith? Well, because there's two realms. The supernatural realm, the natural realm. God operates by faith. He expects us to rule in the natural realm from the spiritual realm, and that takes faith. Somebody say amen. We live in a temporary, fallen, cursed earth. Temporary. When the trump sounds, the millennial reign will have a new heaven, new earth. But right now, and throughout all eternity, you'll still use your faith, because God's a faith God. So there's two realms. Your spirit contacts the spirit realm. Your natural body contacts the natural realm. Faith is given to us as a gift to reach over the unseen realm and put it over here where we can use it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Why number three? Why grace? Why grace? Because nobody is good enough to go to heaven. Nobody. You don't want what you deserve. You don't want justice. You want mercy. The only way God could save us is come down, do it himself, and give you the credit for it. Because I don't care how wonderful you live, you can't live good enough to be saved. If you could live good enough to be saved, then Christ died in vain. Huh? So Romans 5 and 2 says we access this grace by faith. Then Romans 4 and 6 says, therefore, by faith, it might be by grace, the promise is sure to all the seed. Everybody is on an equal plane with God. I don't care if you're a preacher or janitor, you got to humble yourself, use your faith. Come on, somebody. Even Jesus himself was not born full of the word. He grew in favor and stature and grace with God and man. You grow into this. You don't receive everything overnight. So here's number four. Why stewardship? Why does God require stewardship? Because you don't own nothing. You don't own your house. You don't own your kids. Hopefully someday they'll leave. Hopefully. Work with me, people. You don't own your body. Well, I own my land. I got a deed to it. I'd like to see you take it with you when you go. So if we restructure the way we think, we're here for an allotted time, and while you're here, all you can do is handle what God has trusted you with. When you start becoming possessive, my house, my body, my rights, I deserve, you step over into pride. So only by stewardship can humility really exist. Because everything, the air we breathe belongs to God. Clarity of mind belongs to God. There's a lot of people on the earth don't know what day it is. But you and I, God has granted us rightness of mind, sharpness of mind, gifts and graces. And we should, you know, it's a sad day when you just would love to go in McDonald's and sit down. We had so much freedoms we didn't realize we had. So is in the kingdom of God. We've been blessed so much, we take it for granted. And so Moses told God, said, you ain't going. I ain't going either. That's the attitude we ought to have. And so why stewardship? Because we don't own anything. When you start thinking, you know it's a whole lot easier to give out of somebody else's pocket? Huh? I mean, if you dropped your bill, folks, wouldn't bother me a bit to reach in and grab $100 bills and throw them in the offering. Wouldn't bother me. Why? Don't belong to me. Well, everything you have belongs to him. There's nothing you can think of that God hadn't given you. You're not the one decided to be here. I mean, you didn't do anything about your birth. Your mom and daddy did that. If anybody leaves, please take your body with you. Another question. Why did God give man so much authority? Even over all the works of his hands. No wonder the angels said, I'm paraphrasing, who in the world is man that God thinks about him all the time? He's so mindful of him. And who is man that he gives him all this authority over the stars and the moon and all the animals? And God visits him. Who is this creature that God visits? Why so much authority? Well, God knew man would fall. He knew Adam would fall. It didn't catch him by surprise. He had a lamb slain before the foundation. Huh? So why much authority? Why? Because he knew he'd have to come down here as a man. And without enough authority, he would have never defeated the devil. So he gave man awesome authority. Whatever you bind, I'll back you up. Whatever you lose, I'll back you. Come on, somebody. You resist him, he'll run from you. He gave that authority to man because man fell. Man would have to redeem us through Jesus Christ. So there's the five whys. That answers a lot of questions. Now, if you have your Bible open to Corinthians chapter 4, please. Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Can you put that on the screen for us? Corinthians 4 and 1. It talks about that God requires stewardship. God requires stewardship. All that you have is, you have to handle as it belongs to him. And see, when you're out to promote him and not your own self, you get yourself off your mind. The Bible told us this morning, humble yourself. So self has to bow its knee to the will of God. Oftentimes, when self rules, it's hooked to the wrong nature, and it tries to get its way. So it has to be put in place. The Bible teaches us, in essence, we die daily. How we do that is we tell self it can't have its way. Now, this morning we talked about humility. I'm going to ask you a question. What actually glorifies God? John 15 says that you bear much fruit. So the way God wants to manifest is through his people. God chose to limit himself by using people. Huh? Come on, somebody. So when you furnish some food to someone, or you give an offering, or you bless the church, or whatever you do, that's God using you to flow through. Were his hands, his fingers. God wouldn't be preaching tonight if I didn't yield my body to him, speak for him. Come on, somebody. Glad to do it. Glad to do it. But he chose to use people, imperfect people. I mean, you look at the Old Testament, Abraham lied. He would let another guy have his wife because he's afraid. And he lied. Moses, he killed a man. Hello, somebody. David, he also killed a man and committed adultery. And these are the heroes of faith. It just shows you that God chooses foolish things to confound the wise, so nobody, no flesh, could take any credit. Amen. Huh? Now, there are people that can sing very well, preach very well, do things very well, but it's the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. When you recognize that God's your source, how many of you was going to say something, you went blank? Three people. How would you like a couple of months of that? Huh? Well, see, pride will bring you low. Pride gave Nebuchadnezzar a blank mind. And so we want to always give God the glory. Here in Corinthians 4 and 1, is that on the screen? Let a man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, please. Moreover, it is required. Everybody say required. Say it again. One more time. It is required in stewardship a man be found faithful. Now, a reason a lot of people have their needs met, don't have their needs met, have a prayer answered, don't have a prayer answered, it's called they hit and miss. God is very big on faithfulness. Huh? Amen. Not a hit and miss tither. Not a hit and miss churchgoer. But faithful. Sometimes your body don't want to go to church. Grab it by the ear and twist the earlobe and say, get your carcass in the car. Put your teeth in, comb your hair, and get on to church. Yeah. They asked Smith Wigglesworth, how do you feel? He said, I don't ask myself how I feel. I tell myself how I feel. I thought that was good. So God says you have to think stewardship, your body, your time, your resources, everything. You do understand your time on earth is limited. I mean, I used to think if you're in your 60s, you old. I don't think that way no more. Jesus set an example. Heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the 5,000. And yet he had enough humility to wash the disciples' feet. When I used to do tent ministry, I would have foot washings. Not surprise foot washings. I let everybody know, wash your feet at home, because tomorrow night we're going to wash your feet here. We don't want no, we don't. Put on some clean socks. Don't want no holiness socks. Want some clean socks. Because it is something to get down on your knees and wash someone else's feet. But this is an example of Christ that he left for us, that you're not too good to wash someone else's feet. And so being a steward, all you're here to do is manage. I use this terminology. How many of you older people can remember a steward named Gibson? Two people. You are old, brother. Gibson went out of business while Walmart was coming up due to bad management. Are you listening to me? Churches that rise up that are really spiritual are those that walk in line with Scripture. If you ask most people how they're, we got a lot of people coming, we got money in the bank, that is not necessarily a sign of God's blessing. You can have a big crowd, a big bank account, and be 90 miles away from God. Now, I'm going to go slow, because I'm talking about requiring stewardship. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter 1 and 2. I want to install this in your thinking. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 1 and 2. When you get, say amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 2, grace and peace is very rare, and there's a shortage. Do you understand you cannot fill up the internet? Billions and billions of text messages and emails and movies and things have been screened, and you can't fill it up. Grace cannot be exalted. There's no end to grace. So tonight, if we want more favor, more grace, more ability, it comes through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Being raised Pentecostal, we was always preached. It was our behavior that saved us. If you're good enough, if you read enough, if you fast long enough, well, how much good did you do before you got saved? You was ungodly, and Christ died for you. So get your focus off for your performance and get over on his performance. I said it this way. Someone said, Brother Vega, I don't understand. I go to church, I faith tithe, I give offerings, I read, I study, I fast, and I'm still not healed. How come? You just told me how come. You told me how come. You're focused on everything you do. You didn't say a word about what he already did. The gospel is not according to you. The Bible is all about what he did and gave to you as a free gift. But if you don't know it, you'll always feel like a failure. You'll always feel condemned because you didn't measure up. Your faith in Christ Jesus is what measures you. Now, you should live right. You should want to live right. The grace in you teaches you to live godly. But it's not your good living that gets you into heaven. It's you believing in Jesus' good living. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, Lord Jesus. Next verse, please. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him, hath given us to glory and virtue. Next verse, please. Whereby are given unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by thee you might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. If you totally, completely obeyed scripture and never yielded to flesh, it'd be just like there was no devil. You live in a corrupt world that wouldn't bother you at all. Your faith would stop every dart. So we have a part to play to release this divine nature. It's in you. You got a new birth. Everything you need was placed in you in the new birth. You're setting on a case of dynamite. I thought that was good. We found out a while ago in John 15 that the Father's glorified when you bear much fruit. Notice the King James is correct. Doesn't say fruits. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's fruit. Simply meaning inside of love is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, temperance, faithfulness. Against such, there's no force on the planet that can stop it. So we're going to pull out the big guns and start walking in what we preach and start practicing what we believe and allow God to flow through us, encapsulizing us to where the devil can't get to you. I believe 1 John 5 said the whole world lies in wickedness. He that's born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one can't touch him. So in love, in the volume of love, you have to treat people as though they never done you wrong. I mean, your nature, you want to snatch them bald-headed, knock their teeth down the street, get on Facebook and tell everybody what they did to you. But love considers no wrong done to it. So as we practice this divine God love, not yours, his, you're releasing his ability. I want to jump ahead of myself just for a moment. When Moses spent 40 days in the presence of God, in the presence. Now that's mostly what we enjoy. In praise and worship, we sense and feel his presence. But Moses asked him an odd question. He said, God, I want to see your goodness. I want to see your glory. And God showed him his goodness. So you can be in the presence of somebody and not know their goodness. We can have a meal together. You can be in my presence. But you don't know my goodness. See, there's people that don't like me. If they knew me, they'd like me. I know me and I like me. So you can be in the presence of God and not know his goodness. Jesus went around doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to just touch on temperance for a moment. Temperance is a very important fruit that you need to develop. Temperance is self-control. You're never going to go far with God unless you get self in its place. Because self wants to boss. Self wants to tell you what to do. Self is opinionated. So self-control. If you don't learn to control your thought life, your mind is the door to your spirit. You ever heard anybody say, man, the longer I thought about it, the madder I got.
Yeah, that's how it works.
You have to learn to cast down imagination. How does Satan come? He comes trying to blind the mind. The way he blinds people's minds with his contrary thoughts. You ought to rid yourself of this word, I deserve. There's no such thing as good pride. No such thing. Doesn't exist. In its form, all pride is rebellion. Well, I'm proud of my grandkids. You just told me why. They're your grandkids. Sure is quiet in this full gospel church. As you rid yourself of pride, you'll begin to realize that humility is the character of God. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that helps you control self. Self tries to rise up and rule. I got three amens. Don't look so holy. Tighten your halo down and hang on. Everybody in here has a flesh side that you got to be in charge of and steward and buffet and make mind. So it's not how loud you shout. It's how you take the word of God and apply it to your life and allow God to manifest through you proves how much you love him. That's the proof. Other people straightening them out is not your calling. You are not the Holy Ghost police. I hit another stump. A lot of stumps over here in Arkansas. Let me talk about stewardship. You get in trouble when you start thinking you own something. Billy Joe Daudrey, preacher in Tulsa several years ago, his church was growing and overflowing. He didn't have no place to put his offices. Have you ever heard of T.L. Osborne? T.L. Osborne was a great missionary in his day and preached to millions of people. And as he was getting older, he found out that Billy Joe needed a place to have his offices destroyed. And so he just turned his whole offices over to him. Worth a couple of $1 million. And just turned it over. You know why? He didn't own it. You're just in stewardship of it. Here in Arkansas, a man by the name of Happy Caldwell. Anybody heard of Happy Caldwell? He's over here, I think, in Little Rock. Big, nice, huge church, maybe $2 million. I think in his 70s, God told him, I want you to start a TV station and do TV. And he knew that he wouldn't have time to facilitate the pastoral shift of the church. And so he called a friend in that he knew and turned the whole thing to him. Now, how many people would walk off if God told them to and turn it to somebody else? Sure is quiet in this full gospel church. I had a brother that passed away in August. But about 4 or 5 years ago, he had a church in Atoka worth almost $2 million. And the Lord instructed him to move to Houston and start a church. So he just moved to Houston and turned the church over to someone else. I have a problem with people selling churches. Huh? Now you ask every church in this county, whose house is it? Oh, this is the Lord's house. Okay, can I borrow it? They won't let you use it. Huh? I have a little problem with churches charging young folks a fee to get married in their church. I just have a problem with that. Y'all pray real hard. I mean, the couple don't have a frying pan. Huh? And you're going to charge them to get married in your church? Well, we got to charge them a cleanup fee. Well, can't you do a little something for them? Church is not a profitable business. You know how I know? I'm a prophet. In a non-profit organization. And Pentecostals will make sure you don't have a profit. But when God is your source, you don't look to people. And I just talked to a pastor, preacher on the phone, just before I come to church. And they spoke this morning in a large church, 300 plus, $2 million building, 300 people, and they didn't receive an offering. Wrote them a check for $250. Well, but you're violating Scripture. You're not going to be blessed violating Scripture. He said, don't muzzle the ox. Huh? See, in their minds, they think that's a lot of money. But to do what God's called that couple to do, at that rate, take them 100 years. This means work with me. I'll let my wife preach, and y'all be here a long time. See, you need to pick up on these codes, you see. But people get mad when you challenge their traditions. But the Word of God, you're going to run into a dead end somewhere if you don't let Scripture tell you what you should do. So this couple that I know, the wife has to be a nurse. Now, she'll go to work tonight and make $750 as a nurse because the world pays them. But the church, we want the cheapest carpet. God's name is El Shaddai, not El Chifo. You'll hear people brag on how much money they saved the Lord. We bought this cheap carpet and we saved the Lord $400. Well, check the book. There's no rewards in heaven for saving God money. Now, you should be frugal, but you ought not be cheap. The world has presented, the church world, to the world, poor old us. Can we save some peanut brittle? Because our God's not big enough to supply our need. We got to go into candy business. Now, we raised enough money with the peanut brittle to buy our pews. Now, everybody in town got rotten teeth, but we got pews to sit on. It's because they don't develop the fruit with patience long enough to plant their seed, get a harvest, plant their seed, get a harvest. If there is a thread through the fabric of the Word of God, it is, you're going to reap what you sow. If you live long enough, you'll figure out you cannot change other people's harvest. Huh? They sowed to the flesh and sowed to the flesh and sowed to the flesh, and now they're reaping corruption. And they want you to run in and change things. Well, they should have changed things sowing bad seeds all those years. Even medical science will tell you they will not transplant a liver into a person that's an alcoholic because they're just going to destroy it too. So people don't eat right, they don't exercise, they don't do anything, they mistreat their body, they live terrible all these years, they run to the doctor and they get old wanting help. Well, why didn't you help yourself? Oh, this is good preaching. Thank you, I'll go on. If you wear out your body, where are you going to live? So you ought to take better care of your body because it don't belong to you. Matter of fact, he said, if you destroy this body, I will destroy you. Judgment comes, not from God per se, but you'll feel the heat of your own sin when you mistreat your body. It needs rest. You can't live on Diet Coke and cheese puffs. Y'all will be like, what? I'm trying to hurry. Let's look here. Partakers of divine nature have escaped the corruption that's in the world through love. If we could walk totally in love and joy and peace and long, the fruit, it'd be like there was no devil. He couldn't get to you. Just couldn't get to you. So inside of love is all the other eight fruits. Wonder why joy is your strength. The joy, the expectancy, the excitement of what God has done and you're receiving springs forth and releases the strength of God inside of you and strengthens your body. The voice of joy is laughter. I've seen more enthusiasm at a Tupperware party. People get mad.
That Brother Begley just too much laughter.
Well, the Bible that you supposedly believe says he who sits in the heavens laughs. This Bible said you should laugh at destruction. You should laugh at famine. Listen to me carefully. These examples is us to learn from. Don't you know that Moses, facing Pharaoh, the king of the earth, with all of his armies, didn't see any way out? It looked like it wasn't going to turn, but it ain't over. I said, it ain't over. I said, it ain't over. And if God can deliver Sodom and Gomorrah, if he can find 10, I'm sure there's at least 10 in Elkins. Me and my wife are two. And you know, I believe he could have got God on down to 5. He just stopped and gave up. We just spared the city for 10. He just spared it for 2. If they'd asked for it. Now, grace is multiplied when you know things. Grace and peace. Okay, there's exceeding grace. There's manifold grace. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th and 9th chapter, it talks about all grace. It's the grace on God that they can play and sing. So you can readily see the gifts of God are without repentance. Two versions. If you mess up, he don't pull them gifts away from you. Also, sinners are graced with gifts. All mankind, he sprinkled graces to them. There's not anybody on the planet that's not good at something. It's the grace of God in them. But when you learn the knowledge of him, it begins to multiply. So you can have more grace and more favor. That's exactly what Solomon tapped into, and people didn't even like him, brought him wagon loads of gold. Huh? Come on, somebody. Now, I'm trying some shock therapy on you. What was Adam and Eve's prayer life before they fell? They wasn't binding no devil. They wasn't praying for their mother-in-law to get saved. Perfect environment, perfect food, perfect, perfect, perfect. So what was their prayer life like? They didn't have to intercede for anybody. They wasn't nobody else. Their prayer life consists of fellowshipping the Father. Big part of your prayer life should be fellowshipping the Father over his word. Not just go to him, my name is Jimmy, take all you give me. So what was their prayer life like? Oh, Father, the sunrise this morning, it was spectacular. Man, you did good. And the color, I saw flowers today I ain't never seen before. And the fragrance, Shonda. And I ate some fruit. I call it juicy fruit. They didn't ask for anything. They didn't bind anything. They didn't intercede for anything. Just pure fellowship. You ought to try that sometime. Just go to God. Don't ask him for anything. Just tell him how wonderful he is, how the heavens declares his creation. You yourself are fearfully and wonderfully made. Huh? I've been preaching 48 years. I have wore out vehicles. I have wore out clothes and wore out boots and wore out this. Huh? But the body's still going. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you can only get a glimpse of what it's going to be like on the other side, you'll never complain again. Like he said this morning, the things down here will never come to your mind. Whew. So while we're here, our job is to steward our time, our resources. I got one amen. Go with me real quick to Galatians, the fifth chapter. God said, I want you to pull out the big guns. We look on the planet right now, and it looks like hate. I have never seen hate as rampant as I've seen today. So you can see love's counterpart. You can see faith's counterpart called fear. You can see anger and hypocrisy across the world. Wonder what would happen if we pulled out the big guns, because it looked like everything failed at Calvary's tree. The devil was having a square dance. Thought, we got him, we got him, we killing him, we got him. But the Bible said, had the prince of this world knew, the devil had known, he'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. I've lived long enough, the devil is El Stupido. You give him enough rope, he'll always hang himself. And I'm saying we're at a point in time in our nation's history where the wrong side has hanging themselves. And God is about to show up and show out and pull out the big guns, and you're part of that ammunition. Love, joy, and peace. Do you know what peace is worth? When the world's in turmoil, I sleep like a baby. Huh? Peace. What pleases God? A meek and peaceful spirit. Well, you can't have peace if you don't have confidence in Him. Love, joy, and peace. Gentleness. Gentleness. That's how you ought to treat people. Not riff and rave. Show his quietness, full gospel church. See, outside the walls is where your testimony shows. I have to work on people that buggeth me. You go somewhere, they lose your order. Huh? They have brought me a piece of meat that with a good veterinary and a little prayer, we can bring them back to life. Most food, when I eat out, I have to ask the Lord to heal it before I can eat it. And I literally asked them, is this your first day? They act like they don't know what they're doing. And count. This generation can't count. When the veal is 90 cents or 92 cents, give them $1.02, see what they do. I've asked this, what I do now? I said, you owe me 10 cents, a dime, that little shiny thing. They don't know. They had to have it to tell them what to do. I better hurry. Go to, Galatians 5 and 22. I'm sorry, 5:22. Fruit, notice it's fruit, not fruits, fruit. Comes out of one, comes out of love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness. I want to hover on goodness for a moment, goodness. Goodness is God's glory. Goodness is God showing himself good. He wants to manifest that through you. Now, let's be careful. We travel a lot, and we're seeing a lot of New Age teaching. New Age teaches that you can do anything you want to do as long as your mind's okay with it. Well, you have to be careful because it tries to, you have to stay with the book. Goodness, faith, that word there, faith, it should be faithfulness. Faithfulness. Next verse, please. Humility or meekness, same word. Everybody say humility. Say it again. Temperance, so important. If you don't learn to control your thoughts, control your mouth, control your actions, you'll always have trouble in your life. Pastor, of course, this morning, Ephesians, Ecclesiastes, your words on the earth should be few. Well, I was quoting James chapter 4 this morning, and as you go down to there, it says, humble thyself before God, and don't speak evil of your brethren. The way to unhumble yourself is talking about people. Huh? So that's how you draw nigh to God. You submit yourself by submitting yourself to humility, resisting pride, and then the devil will flee. But if you're over in pride and in self, the devil don't have to flee. He's using you. I thought that was good. Temperance, self-control against such, one translation says, there's no force on earth that can stop it. Do you know when a person comes to get saved and they truly humble their heart and they ask the Lord Jesus to come in their heart, nothing on the planet can stop it. All the devils in hell can't stop it. The devil himself can't stop it. The only way Satan can get at you is trick you and you give him the authority. So as you on purpose begin to practice, I didn't say it was easy. It's not easy to love your mother-in-law. Matter of fact, it can't be done. Not without supernatural help. And sometimes you need a truckload of help. Because you may have a twin sister, ugly and nasty. Goodness, temperance, self-control, controlling self. As you learn to control self, you're going to have to look to God for strength. God as our source. I don't want to go too far, but I want to introduce you something. What we're seeing right now is a prelude to the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast yet. If you know anything about the devil's tactics, he brings a wave of homosexuality and it's shot down. Election year, they bring it back and it's shot down. Election year, it's brought back and it's shot down. They did it about 10 times and it passed. It prepared people to get used to it. So little by little by little by little, he got it passed. If you want to know who God holds responsible for the mess we're in, he holds the church. See, that's honest. It's the church's fault. We're the salt. We're the light. But by and large, we don't work together. Matter of fact, most churches are in competition with one another. So we're not practicing these fruits. So Satan was allowed to get in through hate and anger. He has no authority. It's just like the government. The government don't have no money. The government does not have any money. The money they give you is yours and your grandkids' debt. So Satan has no authority until people give it to him. But if we learn to operate in the fruit, he has no place in that. He can't get you to talk about somebody. He can't get you to hold grudges. He can't offend you. He has nothing to work with. Self-control. People right now are very, very stressed. You should on purpose cast that care over on the Lord. God is still on the throne. His will come to pass. Huh? It doesn't matter what the devil's doing or saying. He's going to have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's going to have a mature church, grown up, full stature. The flu vaccine has been around for 78 years. Still, people catch the flu. This vaccine, this is Begliology, I believe is safe. It was done on the Trump administration. I believe it's safe. But they're getting the world used to vaccines as the answer. How many thousands of people will run today and get it as their source of help? Conditioning people for the next pandemic and the next problem and the next, come on somebody. In one place, they're already numbering people that's had the vaccine. It's just a matter, this is not it, but it is a forerunner. Now, how much maturity do you have? We're already in a place that's very dangerous. It's called AI, artificial intelligence. The other day, me and my wife was talking about these new light bulbs that you screw in. It charges. When the lights go out, it lasts 6 hours. We didn't know how long it lasts. So we're sitting there talking about these light bulbs we've never seen before. She bought one at Walmart. It's called E-bulbs. And I'm sitting there talking about this light bulb. Open up my phone. Advertisement. That phone, listen to me. It won't know what I'm interested in buying. So there's algorithm, which is a fancy word for software. As soon as they hear something, zip, 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 bring it to you. You can buy a shirt at JCPenney's. The time you get to the car, Kohl's had done sent you an advertisement to buy their shirt. So it will come to a place where you can't buy nor sell without being common knowledge. So, before that happens, the church must mature. Amen. The rapture has to take place. Because he who now holdeth will hold until the Antichrist can say, now it's already here. It's coming through correct political correctness. So now when they pray and say amen, they also have to say a woman. If you pray and say amen and a woman, you are a moron. Huh? They're trying to take gender out of the Bible. So that when you say Heavenly Father, you're biased and racist and homophobe. Antichrist language. Well, we have a language that carries the power of God. And it said, when you see the mountain, say in the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart believe. Those things you say shall come to pass. You need to stand up and say what you believe. I believe that Donald J. Trump is our president for the next 4 years. I believe that God will reign. I believe the church will arise up in this hour and be hungry and glorified. I believe that God is going to reign through his people. We're going to rise up, meet the challenge of the hour. Out of your village and flow rivers of living water. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper, for the greater one indwells us. And nobody and nothing can stop the plan of God. That's what I believe. Huh? Whew! I'm believing for Nancy Pelosi's money to come to me. Send her back to San Francisco and eat some rice-a-roni and some ice cream. People don't know they're being used by spirits. But we ought to know what's going on. We're not in the dark. First final closing. I am amazed at the boldness of the stinking devil. He don't even try to hide it no more. Huh? He's learned to accuse them of what they're doing. Isn't that what blame does? When a man cheats on his wife, he'll say, well, if you was more of a wife to me. Who did he just blame? He blamed her. So blame is pride. So pride is rampant over here. So what are we gonna beat pride with? Humility. It seems so weak and so frail, but it operates in another realm. In closing, the spiritual realm is real. It's more real than the natural realm. We should be operating out of this realm, ruling this realm. But if you let this realm rule you, you'll never operate out of that realm. So everybody in heaven, they not asleep. They standing on the edge of the banner saying, hey, guys, get with it down there. We don't have another 48 years. What is so dumb about the devil? He don't have no new tricks. If you're a historian, Adolf Hitler defunded the police, got rid of their guns, tried socialism, then blamed the Jews for their problems. Same old tricks. So we have to be wise as serpents and know that we have secret weapons working behind the scene, because it looked like all was lost. Jesus was dying. They're going back fishing. Peter's not interested in the ministry no more. But a few days. Shake, rattle, and roll. The power of God reached down there and brought forth a brand new creation that never existed before. A righteous man, a righteous human being. And we got the same standing he does. So what looked like failure and defeat was an avenue to victory. Because he's operating in a different realm. Somebody say amen. Did y'all get anything tonight? Give the Lord a good shout, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had a man, this has been about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe five. Time gets away when you're having fun. Took me out for breakfast. And he knew he was in his 80s. He knew he wouldn't be here to live us longer. He knew the Lord dealt with him. He wanted to go home. He said, I want to give you my church. And I looked at him and said, sir, I said, I'm going to be honest with you. It's worth maybe $150,000, $200,000. I said, sir, I can't take your church. I'm not going to move here and pastor that church. I wouldn't feel right going there and selling the people's church to someone else and taking the money. Oh, you can convince yourself of anything. Huh? Oh, you listen to me? And he was amazed that I didn't take it. And then I had another church that they would have gave to me if I had a... I don't want something that God's not in for me. This is not about building my kingdom. Matter of fact, when you start pushing his kingdom and not your kingdom, his kingdom increases inside you. Somebody say amen. And so good stewardship has to retrain the brain. I don't own anything. I kind of laugh, though, because my wife don't own me. I'm just here by marriage. But nobody owns anything. He trusted you with talent to use for him. He trusted you with ability to use for him. Amen? So use what God has made you, because there's nobody on the planet just like you. You are special, made in His image. I said, Lord, can you explain this to me? You created me for your pleasure. Can you take me a little further? He said, sure. He said, when you see your grandson out there and he does a good job, don't that bring you pleasure? I said, it certainly does. When they were smaller and you saw your daughter playing basketball or your son hit a home run, bases loaded a home run, did that bring you pleasure? I said, yeah. He said, when I see you, allow me to operate through you. Actually, it's hard for me to spank my grandkids. They look just like me. I mean, He loves you so much. You are His prodigy. You are His DNA. You are the apple of His eye. Let's let the world see the God in us manifesting through love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and temperance and kindness. No more sad days. No more sad days. No, if grief tries to come, laugh it off. No more sad days. No more down days, only good days. Give the Lord one more praise, would you please? Glory. Glory. Thank you, Father. I'd like for everybody to stand. We're going to do heart surgery. Put your hand over your heart. Raise your other hand toward God. This is a symbolic gesture. I want you to pray this out loud. Oh, God in heaven. I understand it's all about the heart. You don't see like man sees. Man sees the outside, but you see the heart. I offer my heart to you. I choose on purpose to walk in humility. I choose on purpose to walk in love. I choose on purpose to allow you to help me develop temperance and self-control. I promise you, I will be faithful handling your things. I belong to you. I dedicate the rest of my life to you in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and praise Him for that. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Let me say for just a second, who was it that's been having trouble with your shoulder, not being able to raise it? Who is that? There's two of you been having trouble in your shoulder. Well, if you'll check now, you can move it. If you check now, you can move it. Three people been having back trouble. If you'll check now, that pain's gone. When you gave your heart to the Lord in that dedication, grace flowed in your back, and you no longer have humped up disc. If that's you, reach out and claim it. Matter of fact, whatever you need from God, just reach up and claim it. If you need the debt free, claim it. If you need a better house, claim it. You need a better car, claim it. That's how you partake of His divine nature. He promised you everything that pertains to life belongs to you. Don't belong to the world. Oh, you're trying to tell me only drug dealers can drive nice cars? Only the mafia can have a nice house? Not God's people? I'm telling you that's wrong. God wants you to have the best. Hallelujah. Now shake hands with three people. Say, I got it, 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 I got it. Now find three other people. Said, find three more people. Say, God did it, 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 God did it. Now find three more and say, I'll share it. 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 Praise God. So I got everybody in the house preaching. Go ahead and be seated, everybody, if you would. Did y'all receive anything tonight? what the devil meant for evil and harm with the COVID shutdown, a lot of ministries now have gone virtual and reached more people through technology than we did in the building. Last Sunday, we preached to maybe 70, 75 people, and the views on that one sermon was over 1,000. And so the devil tried to really attack local churches, but he sure challenged traveling ministries. Because if your church is not open and your church is down, then they usually don't want the traveling ministry. But God sustained us through our partners and so forth. God's faithful. And I'm praying on when. I'm not sure just when, but we're going to launch out and buy a new vehicle. I don't need a new vehicle. If I wasn't traveling preaching, I'd drive what I got till the wheels fall off. But when you're going across country, you need something with very few miles on it. So y'all just pray for us, because when he gives me the go-ahead, we're going to start believing and doing what he says. I had Brother Copeland say something the other day that really blessed me. The Lord, he had a friend told him about a piece of property, and he went out there and looked at it. When he stepped on the ground, the Lord said, this is it. This is the revival capital of the world. Well, he ain't got no money. He don't know what to do. So finally, he went and seen the owner. And, of course, you know, Brother Copeland, he don't borrow money. We don't borrow money. And so we... he decided to go see the man. This is what he said to him. He said, sir, he said, I'm Brother Copeland, and the Lord hath need of that land. Now, he didn't need it. I don't need another vehicle if I'm going to stay home. All I'm asking y'all to do tonight is start praying for this. The money we receive tonight is not going for that. What we receive tonight in the offering will go for our budget. This is something extra. We've got close to $200,000 on our vehicle. When you get that close, you need to get something newer. Does that make sense to you? So he said, when I release you to do this, just tell people, the Lord hath need of it. That's what Jesus said about the donkey. Tell him the Lord hath need of it. It's pretty plain to see. I don't need it. If I'm going to stay home, I don't need it. I mean, if I just drive back and forth town, I don't put 50 miles a week on a vehicle. But when you go to Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi and places, you know. But tonight, as you give to this ministry, what I've preached tonight will replicate inside you. The Bible teaches us as we sow into an anointing, that anointing comes to you. That's Galatians. He said, be not deceived. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. He said, sow back to the teacher. Huh? He said, especially the household of faith. He said, in due time, you will reap if you faint not. And so this will go for our budget, our offices and things to keep us going. And go ahead and smile. Let me tell you a dream. About 18 months ago, I had a dream. Walked in this country cafe, and they said, you're going to have to make two orders. I said, well, I like pie, coconut cream pie. Just bring me two slices. And then Donald Trump walked to the back door and sat down at the table with me. He said, I like your hair. Yeah. I added that. I like your hair too. He sat down there and he was in no hurry. And we just talked and talked. And while we're talking, they tried to steal our pie. That's exactly what they're trying to do. The Lord showed us 18 months ago. The Lord don't do anything unless he first reveals it to the prophets. So it's good to sow into a prophet's ministry. It gives you glimpses of the future. Somebody say amen. I didn't preach myself happy. I said, I didn't preach myself happy. Did y'all receive tonight? be a blessing. God will bless you. Can we have a couple of ushers, please? Thank you, Lord. A couple of ushers. Big guys with guns. Just kidding, folks. Lighten up. But you ought to pray about what you do. Don't just grab something. We want to be used of God. I told my daughter one time, I said, honey, I want to do this for you. Give you some money to pay a rent or pay a car. You know what she said? Daddy, let the Lord use you. So I'm saying, let the Lord use you. Let's pray. Father, you said the big guns is the fruit of the Spirit because it's you. It's the love of God. It's the faith of God. It's the temperance of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the patience of God. It is God flowing through us. And we get the privilege of releasing it in the earth. So I thank you tonight as they exercise their love for you. Because everything we have belongs to you. We don't have anything that we didn't get from you. We want to give back a portion of that to you. So receive our blessing to you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Go, if you're making out a check tonight, make out to Dale Maggie Ministries, you go ahead and give and receive the offering. It'll go for God's benefit. Now, all I'm asking right now about our new vehicle is y'all pray. Y'all just pray because God has people that has the resources that can buy one, give big on it, whatever. And we're giving God some space on this. I'm sure we'll drive this one we got here on the field for maybe 3 to 6 more months. But I try to use wisdom. I don't wear tires down to the vol spots. I hate to see my wife walk. I hate to see her mess with that jack and change tires. It just bothers me. So somebody say amen. Isn't God good? Give your pastor a hand clap as he comes. Pastor, my friend, your friend, David Mashburn. God bless you.